First scripture that I'd like to read tonight is from the Old Testament. Now, it's quite a difficult one to find. It's in the prophet Amos, and it's in chapter 4, and it's page 1101 in my Bible, quite near the end of the Old Testament of the Bible. So that's the book of Amos in chapter 4. Page 1101. And I'd like to start at just at the end of verse 10 of chapter 4. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith Jehovah. I have overthrown among you like God's overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith Jehovah. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. And then I'd like to read in Luke 15, which should be rather easier to find, but it's on page 1248. Luke chapter 15. I'd like to read just from verse 20, just a short section. Luke 15 and verse 20. And he rose up and went to his own father. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondmen, bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. My third scripture is in John's Gospel and chapter 14. Starting at the first verse of John 14, that's page 1289. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you, for I go to prepare you a place. And if I go, I shall prepare you a place. I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am ye also may be. And ye know where I go. And you know the way. These three scriptures all speak of preparation. Firstly, are you prepared to meet God? In the second scripture, there's a welcome in heaven. The Father has prepared the way of salvation so that you tonight can be saved. And in the last scripture, there's a place prepared for you in heaven. Have you reserved it for yourself? Friend, I want to speak today of preparation because there's much preparation in the world today. Events change from day to day. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And men are fearful. And what they don't know is that God himself is speaking through these things to have to do with them. And God is speaking through the gospel tonight. The wonder of it is that God's salvation is offered freely to whosoever will. Because you have to answer that question. Or that command in that book of Amos. Prepare to meet your God. You know, it's as well to ask ourselves questions sometimes. If we were to have to do with God today, would you be prepared? Would you know what it meant to have to do with a righteous and holy God? Could you have to do with him? even perhaps as you've heard the gospel tonight, and perhaps you've heard it many times before. But what would it mean to you if you knew that tonight you were going to have to do with God? Scripture speaks of a man in one place, doesn't it? And he'd built up his barns and he had everything that he needed. And God had to say to him, "Fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." Now, I know it's all very well to say that in a gospel meeting like this, because you've heard that scripture time and time again. But what if it was true? What if you were to face God tonight and have to do with him? Where will you spend eternity, my friend? Would you know for certain that you were trusting in Jesus to be your Saviour? I wonder sometimes, you know, when we consider the need for every man, woman and child to have to do with God today, just how many realize what it means? Persons do good works, they do what they can to earn salvation, but there's only one way of salvation, and that's by trusting in Jesus as a Saviour. I wonder if everyone here has let the truth of that fall in upon their hearts. Amos was a prophet from the Old Testament, as we know, and the period of his prophecy wasn't very long, but he had a very definite message. He could, of course, have spoken of the failure that there was amongst the people of God in those days, just as there is failure in the world today. But I wanted to focus upon this little section in the prophet Amos, because it brings before us the yearnings of God when he says, "Yet have ye not returned unto me." He could have drawn attention to all sorts of things that were going wrong. He could have set out standards of morality for them whereby they could adhere to those and perhaps in a certain sense satisfied certain aspects of the law. But no, what he comes to is this: "Yet have ye not returned to me." And I was struck the other day when just looking at this scripture to notice that in this very chapter, chapter 4, 5 times he says these words. He says to them, "These things have happened. You've gone on and you've pleased yourselves. And I've allowed certain things to come into your life. But yet have ye not turned to me?" Oh, friend, the gospel message tonight is preached that you might come to Christ. That's the purpose of it. That you might find the way of salvation. And that you might have a sense of the yearnings of God for your soul. That he loves you. Sure, didn't he give his only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish but might have eternal life? And the yearnings of that God tonight are just the same. But are you prepared to meet him? We stand today in the midst of a world that has little time for the things of God. They're quite prepared to just carry on the way they are, even though things get worse from day to day. And their eyes seem blinded as to the need of a Saviour. Friend, I'm speaking to you tonight of someone who is my Saviour, and I want him to be yours. I think I've often said that I trusted him many years ago, and I'm thankful for that. But look, it doesn't matter how many years you've trusted him for. The important thing is, will you trust him today? I don't know of any other way of salvation. In fact, I would go further as to say there isn't one. There's only one way. And it's by trusting in what God has provided for you in the Saviour Jesus. Because the truth remains that one of these days you will meet God. You will have to do with him, every man, woman and child will have to do with God in relation to their sins. Think of a day, you know, when the books will be opened and the things of men will be revealed. Oh, what an embarrassment that would be. What a horror that would be. Wouldn't you be glad in that day if you knew that your sins were covered, every one of them? Those moments when you've done things and said things that you just don't like even to reflect on, but they're gone for everyone who trusts in Christ. I thank God that that's my Saviour and I commend him to you. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. There's not one remaining, not one outstanding. You stand before God and you can. You've prepared. You've had to do with him. You've come to him in simple faith and trust and owned that before him you're a sinner. Would you dare tonight to stand before God? If this scene tonight in this world closed and everyone was called to have to do with him, and in a day to come you'll meet him as a judge, would you do that? Friend, why would you do it? When God is offering the opportunity to you tonight to have to do with him as a saviour, prepare to meet your God. And will you return unto him? Will you turn to the Saviour and own him as the one who is able to redeem your soul from eternal damnation? People don't like to talk about hell, but it's there, all right. And a day is coming when many, tragically, will find themselves that the door of mercy has been closed and the opportunity for salvation is forever gone. The hymn says, doesn't it, some guest will be the last, but the ray of hope, yet there is room. There is tonight. There's room for you. You can come just as you are. Yes, your sins burdening upon you, knowing that in the sight of God they've gone forever, been effaced forever from before a holy and a righteous God. And you can come tonight, but friend, are you prepared? Look, God is giving an opportunity in the night, tonight in the gospel. No matter how many times you've heard the gospel, perhaps it hasn't really meant very much to you. But tonight, the gospel message is for you. And you can walk out of this room prepared to meet your God. The way of salvation, you know, is a wonderful thing. God has designed it in his love for you because he knew you couldn't save yourself. He's worked in his love for you so that you might come into blessing. And this very day can be the day of your salvation if you'll only accept that before him you're a sinner and that you need a saviour. And just by trusting him, you can have the peace that comes with knowing that every sin is completely washed away through the precious work that Jesus has done. Well, I turn on to the scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's a very well-known section of scripture, which is why I didn't read it all. But here we have the Father prepared to receive the Son. It's lovely, you know, isn't it, to feel when you go somewhere that you're welcome. And I often read this this lovely passage of scripture, and it comes home to my soul that even though the younger son was in the far country and just pleasing himself and squandering what had been left to him, the father's love for him never changed. And I want to say that to you tonight. You know your history. You know the things you've done. You know when you've wandered, just as I do. But the Father's love for you remains the same. God is love. And God's love for you is just the same as ever it was. You say, how can that be? When you think back and think of the things you've done that you shouldn't, yeah, it's just the same. And God's love is towards you tonight, and it's shining out in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who came here in order to redeem your soul. He who came to Bethlehem's manger in lowly guise. He who walked here expressing perfectly the love of God to whosoever will. Many didn't receive him, but still God's love was toward them. Oh, the wonder, you know, of the glad tidings of God's grace. Tonight, that same message continues, that God's love is towards you. He sees you, he knows you, he knows all about you. He knows what's happened in your pathway. He knows even the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what you're thinking even right now. Perhaps you're thinking you'll maybe put off the gospel, answering to the gospel, until another week. Perhaps you'll think it over, want to make sure that it's for you. Oh yes, it's for you. It surely is. For everyone in this room tonight, there's not one person exempt from the glad tidings or from the need of the glad tidings. That's absolutely sure. Whosoever will runs right the way through Scripture and finishes up in Revelation 22. Let him come, let him drink of the water of life freely. That invitation goes out from the heart of a loving God, and he's prepared to receive you. Just as that hymn says, you know, just as I am, come unto Christ. Own him as your Savior and Lord. And why can you do that, and why should you do that? Friend, every one of us, our sins lie upon us and we carry a responsibility for them. You're responsible for the things you've done, and you'll have to answer for them in a day to come. But tonight, the salvation that God offers is wonderful, because it involves a Savior who came here and was crucified on Calvary's cross by wicked men, but who bore my sins in his body on the tree. And the truth of that is available for you tonight, that simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And you can know that that offering there upon that cross, when he was despised and rejected of men, when he suffered the agonies at the hands of men, but that he also suffered in 3 hours of darkness at the hand of God, that my sins might be laid upon him, the holy, righteous one, and that God's wrath in relation to my sins might be completely exhausted so that I should go free. And you say, well, that sounds too good to be true. It's true, all right. Oh yes, my friend, you can come tonight. And you can just simply trust in simple faith, owning that you're a sinner. Oh, cry out to him from your heart tonight. Lord, forgive me. He has salvation ready to offer to you. He can forgive you every sin, such that God can even come out and can say, their sins and their iniquities I will never remember anymore. Oh, now let's come back to where we started. Prepared to meet your God? If he should come tonight and you should have to do with him, are you prepared? Come to Luke 15. Put yourself in the place of the man in the far country. You know where you are in your soul history with God. Have to do with him in regard to your sins. Let them be washed away by simply trusting in him and knowing the saving grace that can meet the needs of the sinner. And know too the peace that fills the heart and the joy that fills the heart when Christ is accepted in to your heart. There's a welcome in heaven for you tonight. Wonderful thing, you know. While the son was in the far country, oh, the father's eye was still upon him. He wasn't forgotten. God's eye is upon you. And tonight, the invitation is extended to you. It says of the younger son, you know, that he came to himself. He realized that back in his father's house, he had the confidence and faith that the father's heart of love had not changed toward him. And he returned. I am not worthy. Too true, you might say that. He said it, but oh, the joy that must have filled his heart to know that he was welcomed, that the Father's heart was open to him. And tonight, that's so for you. The Father's heart is extended towards you. And the forgiveness that no one else can give you is available to you through the precious work of Jesus. God is satisfied with what he has done upon the cross. The work has been accomplished to the satisfaction of a holy God. And you can have the confidence that you're prepared, you're ready to meet your God simply because of the work that Jesus has done. Well, I would just appeal simply to everyone tonight. This is the Saviour that I know and that I love. And I know that he loves me. I become amazed sometimes when I wonder that he should, but he does. And the same goes for you. You look back at things you've done and you say, well, how can God love me? Well, he doesn't love what you've done, but he loves you. And tonight, the appeal of the glad tidings is just, it's looking for an answer from your heart. Have you thought of that, that the gospel's not just a story that you listen to on a Sunday evening? No. It's a God who's appealing to your heart. And he's looking for a response. Will you come to him now? That's what the younger son did. He came back. He returned. Scripture in Amos says, yet have ye not returned unto me. But here in Luke 15, the younger son returned. Now it's time for you. Time for you to return. Perhaps you've known the gospel for many years. Perhaps you've sat under meetings like this for many years. But what effect has it had upon you? Is it just a story that you know? Or have you turned to God and asked him to forgive those sins? And have you found a Savior? Well, I come to John 14, another very well-known scripture. But somebody else has been preparing here. It's lovely, isn't it? If you're trusting in Christ, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. That's the message of salvation, isn't it? Wonderful privilege for the believer. You believe on God, believe also on me. How often our hearts are troubled, and understandably so, but oh, there's a Saviour who knows our hearts. And, you know, he was here with his disciples. And he says, I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to have to leave this scene. I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going to a place where I can prepare a home for you. Those many mansions. That place where many, all of those who have trusted in Christ will one day be. And to think that his love for you is sufficiently personal that he's gone there to prepare a place for you. That's what he says. Not a place for everyone or for many, but for you. And I would just like to ask you simply, have you reserved that place in heaven by trusting in him? Because if you have, you can be sure that your heavenly home is secure. I didn't read it here, but somebody just after I read it said, Lord, we don't know the way. And that's understandable too, you know, because at that time Jesus was still here. He hadn't been into death. He hadn't been crucified. But he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Amos says, yet have ye not returned unto me? The gospel's not a story. It's not a sermon either. It's a personal appeal from the heart of God to your heart. And the question is, will you answer to it? The consequences, if you don't, are serious. This isn't a matter of some loss in this world, if you don't. This is a matter of eternity. Where are you going to spend it? Terrible thing to suggest that anybody will spend eternity in hell, but it's true. Some will. And when you think, some of those that will may be those who've heard the gospel and haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior. I think that's so solemn, you know. Many perhaps have only heard the gospel once or twice, but I'm sometimes challenged by my own heart when I sit in the gospel preaching. What effect has it had on me? Have I turned to God in my sins? Have I owned Jesus as my personal Savior? Am I trusting Him for my eternal salvation? And friend, I preach the gospel so that that's what you might do. That you might let the challenge of God's word just reach your heart and stir your affections and make you realize that without Him, you're in peril. Even to leave it to tomorrow is a terrible risk when you think that a delay of a few hours might result in the difference between heaven and hell. That's the truth of the gospel. May not be palatable, but that's the truth. And I would just say simply to you, look, God is appealing to your soul tonight. You can have peace and joy by trusting in the Savior and know that every sin is forever washed away from before the sight of a holy God. If you'll only turn to Him now. Well, may God bless the word for His name's sake. Amen.